Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 719.
Ooh, 719. The number before 720, one of my all-time favorite video games.
I don't know that game.
It's a skateboard
360.
One.
The 720 one?
Yeah, 720.
Well, it's more than 360, Chris.
That's you're 360.
Yeah, yeah. And then you can do it again.
The joystick that that would go all the way around.
It's pretty sexy the way you're like whipping your hand around like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. This episode is a hostful episode.
So this is just intro. Kind of a hostful intro, just to right before it's just us before us again.
Yeah,
Seems repetitive.
Yeah. No, it should feel seamless, like it's just flowing into the episode.
No, seamless is not the sponsor today. It's Stars Blunt Talk.
I'm sorry, you're right, Matt. I'm sorry. No, you were right. I was way off.
There'll be a Stars kid with that seamless riff.
Katie, what do you got on the Nerdist Community Corkboard?
Yeah, so Best Friends Animal Society is doing a big fundraiser called
Strike. Animals. Might as well call it the Dork Board. Whatever you were going to say, I was going to say that too.
You're going to feel real bad when she tells you about this really awesome thing that Best Friends is doing for animals, Matt.
For homeless animals.
Okay, give them homes.
People should give them homes. They're doing a big event called Strut Your Mutt, which is a dog walk, 5K run, and dog-themed festival benefiting animal welfare groups and Best Friends Animal Society as they work to save the lives of pets in shelters. It's on October 10th at Exposition Park. And we made a team Nerdist for it.
Oh, yeah. Really? Is Scout going to be there?
Scout will be there.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Go meet Scout.
So, and so will other people that work at Nerdist with dogs. And then we're
Nerdist
also...
with dogs.
It's like Nerdist, but with dogs.
With dogs.
Nerd dogs. Also, we made it open to fans to join the Nerdist team at the event. But if you can't come to it, you can always sponsor us online by making a donation to our fundraising goal. You can go to... nerdi.st/mutt, and that's Nerdist with a dot in between the I and the S. So again, nerdi.st/mutt to find out how you can join the team or to donate.
Good for you. Now the beginning of an explosive Nerdist podcast. Katie, start the thing. Here comes the energy.
Turn the volume down. You're gonna get your ears blown out.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to a very special hostful edition of the Nerdist Podcast. From our studios in Hollywood, California, I'm joined by Jonah Ray.
Hello.
And Matthew Mira.
Close enough, Chris. Thank you.
Gentlemen, let's talk about the trade agreement.
That's funny. You use that word, which I find very funny, is agreement. And that's exactly what this thing isn't. It's hardly agreement at all. It's kind of at a standstill.
Well, I think it's really just about the lack of an agreement.
Sure, sure. That's something we can all agree on, is that there is no agreement at all. But trade...
You know, I'm actually not sure I agree with that 100%.
See, and here we are again. We can't even start the conversation without first admitting that there is not any agreement.
Well, Matt, how do you define a conversation?
Well, According to the Galactic Senate's recent ruling of the trade agreement, that is a boring movie.
I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, thank you.
Which movie are we talking about?
There was a Menace, and it was a Phantom.
Oh, yes, yes, my favorite documentary
on the movie The Phantom
on space politics. Yeah. That's what the movie was called, Star Politics, right?
Star Politics, yeah.
Yeah, Star Embargo.
Star Embargo.
Star Senate Floor Wars.
Yeah.
Star Floors.
Star Floors.
Nothing but stars.
Star Floors seems like something you would have put in your house.
I'm sorry, you're talking a little loud.
I apologize.
You're peeking on the meter.
I'm peeking up on it. It seems as if maybe we should probably talk normally.
You're listening to Afternoon Can Also Be Eclectic. Thanks. Which is the full name of the show.
Thanks.
Thanks. Here's Florence and the Langoliers.
I've been Florence and the Langoliers. That's great.
By the way, I just want to compliment you on your spot on breathiness.
Oh, thank you.
With the
thank you.
Like it was right. Thank you. I mean, that was exactly NPR. I mean, that was like right in the sweet spot of NPR conversation.
We should be so lucky, guys.
It's true.
Seriously, we should.
They're so mellow. I've been listening to a lot of KUSC lately, which is the classical station.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to K-Jazz a bunch and I switched over to KUSC, the classical station. And that's great because these guys think every story about every song is the most fascinating. And they say jokes that you wish you could get. A lot of people think that was old J.S. Bach. But in fact, it was. And you hear them trying to hold in laughter. But a lot of people are wrong.
It's actually Brahms.
Yeah, yeah.
The confusion is that they both start with a B. And that was actually in B. Coming up. So my friend Steve Callahan, who's now one of the EPs of Family Guy, when we were in college, we were in the same comedy group that I met Mike Furman in. And Steve had a joke. Oh my God, this was like 1990 of a classical station promoting a monster truck rally.
Just to remind you all that this Sunday,
it's fucking great. I always
love
that
really
joke.
Great.
Yep. And now he's making the big dollars.
Yeah, he is.
Over at the Family Guy.
Empire. They're going to have their own channel soon.
The Family Guy channel.
It's called TBS.
Yeah, yeah. Very funny, Matt.
That's funny because Matt knows drama.
Mm. TNT.
That's right.
Yes.
Dynamite.
That's
TNT.
Right. No, Alfred Nobel.
Right.
Invented dynamite.
Yes, he did.
Also, the prize. Katie, what are you always typing?
What are you
going to
say so I can write descriptions?
Ah, how dare you?
Oh, wow.
I always hear the tick, 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 and I can never figure out what it is that you're...
It makes it seem like we're in a real hectic newsroom. I like it.
Tick, 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 tick. This just in. We are not in a newsroom.
This just in. Nerdist newsroom. Outdated. Ticker tape.
Ding.
Tick, tick,
yeah.
Tick, 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 tick.
The news you wanted. The news when you wanted it. Yesterday.
It is kind of funny, like, when you see the old Cronkite stuff, there is, like, you do hear someone banging on a typewriter in the background, and I could never tell if that
they
was an actual newsroom.
Pages
or is it just
them.
A guy? Is it just like
Foley a guy?
Yeah, was it just someone just making that sound? That if you spun the camera, would you just see a guy like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm actually not typing anything.
That'd be great, a fake documentary about the Foley guy who did the news in the 50s.
What have you kids been up to? I haven't seen you guys in a while.
Saw you last week, Chris.
Shut up. Matt?
I've been out of town a bunch. I've been...
What'd you do in Boston?
A lot. Ate a lot. Saw a couple of Red Sox games. Did the whole...
I watched one with you on Periscope.
Yeah, Periscope, the end of one. Well, not the end of one.
Are you allowed to do that?
I said I don't have the express written consent of Major League Baseball, but here it is.
Yeah.
Come at me, bros.
I'm not even sure you had a vague written consent.
No. No one stopped me, so it was like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought someone would stop me. Like some major...
like some old guy in a baseball uniform.
Looks like you're periscoping, son. How do you know what that is? I was in the Navy.
What I mean is you're underwater and you're putting up an eyepiece to see if there's enemy subs.
Yeah. I mean, if that company goes under, all the down periscope jokes that will be available to us.
I hope it doesn't. I really like it. April,
I like it, too.
Doesn't need to, you know, the down periscope's a great movie.
Yeah, yeah.
For the record.
No, it's just a reference.
It's a lot of fun.
April Richardson and I periscoped 32 minutes of singing car jams.
That's fun.
Between Sacramento and San Jose this weekend, because it's a... It's not the most exciting drive between those two towns.
Come on, you get to go through, was that Tracy or
Tracy
Stockton?
And Stockton?
Yeah, yeah.
Modesto?
Folsom Modesto. Up there, too?
Probably.
Central Valley?
It's quite a...
Did you go to Old Sac?
We did not go to Old Sac. I think we did maybe drift.
There was already one in the car.
Come on. Sacramento's an interesting town. The show was amazing, and the theater was beautiful, but the area of town we were staying in...
Was Sacramento.
It felt like...
I don't know why I imagined you at the San Jose Improv. For some reason, when I heard you at shows this weekend up in California, that's where I imagined you.
No, it was at the California Theater and then the Crest Theater in Sacramento, which apparently was called something else. I think it was called like the... Someone said that it was called the Majestic Crest, I think, and at some point in the 40s or 50s, the part of the sign that said Majestic fell and crushed a person, and so then it just became the Crest.
Wow.
Yeah. So they just didn't really... At that point, they were like, nah.
Shit.
Feel like the universe is sending us a sign.
Yeah.
they're pushing the sign.
That's sending, what the movie The Majestic was based on.
Literally ascending the sign. Yeah. Yeah. So, but it was fun. The show's been really super, super, super fun.
Nice.
Where are you going next?
I'm off for a few weeks.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. Yeah. I mean, we'll do something.
You going to try to do nothing?
It's possible we might try to do nothing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. I've been too busy to think about planning a trip anywhere. Because you don't want to... The challenge with the vacation time is...
The challenge with the vacation.
It is, because you don't want to go on the type of vacation that you're tired, that you have to recover from when you get back. Because you got to go right back to work.
Yeah.
So where, you know, so we're...
Long distances,
you know.
Just give yourself like 3 days before you come back.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to do nothing, but I also know that after a few days of doing nothing, I start to get a little antsy.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I don't have a vacation.
Matt, what are you going to do?
We're not on your schedule, Chris. Yeah,
we're all on.
What are you
going to
do for my vacation?
Yeah.
Jonah, what are you going to do for my vacation?
Work, probably.
Aww.
Yeah.
No, man, you got to these vacations. What if I'm just like pitching vacations to people like I just figured them out? Yeah. It's like you can just go do nothing for a little bit and it's like recharges your batteries.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good.
What are you going to do, Matt? What have you been doing? Last week you said, I'm so busy, but I didn't know.
I was super busy.
What were you doing?
I'm trying to remember what last week was. Where was I? New York? Boston? Vegas? I was any of those three places.
What's all your travel been?
New York... I went, Dory had to do some work out there, so I went with her. We met with the Mark, who's going to, Dory's friend, who's going to be performing the ceremony of the wedding. So we met with him at his house in upstate New York. And then Vegas, I went to meet my buddy Brian. We had like a day to catch each other because I didn't get to see him in New York. So I went to Vegas I ended up staying two nights. And Boston was right before that. And then I've been doing a bunch of stuff for the Wired podcast.
Oh, Red.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Which I hit send on today, so it's been submitted to iTunes.
Hooray!
Yeah, we'll see. Got a bunch more to do. I got to do one at 8 o'clock in the morning tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh.
Over Skype with people in England.
Good for you.
Sounds exciting.
What's the podcast called?
Make Tech Human.
Nice. Mm. Starring Matt Myra Matt Myra. Produced by Matt Myra. Wardrobe by
Button Dory. 500.
Copyright Conde Nast.
That's really cool. I'm glad you're doing that. It sounds really awesome. And it sounds like, it sounds so up the Myra alley. It sounds second most up the Myra alley to talk salad and scrambled eggs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a, you know, we got this week on Wednesday, we're recording with Ken Levine, who wrote 8 episodes of Frasier and 36 episodes of Cheers.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Which episodes?
A lot of the ones he wrote on Frasier were the ones where Lilith came back.
Okay.
Cheers, I mean, it's just spread out over, like, I mean, it's over a season. It's like a season and a half of Cheers he wrote.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's
you're going to grill
cool.
him?
He wrote a couple of Simpsons episodes. He wrote Becker, the guy. And he part-time, what he does now is he's still producing and directing and stuff, but he also, like 2 years ago, filled in for the season doing commentary for the Seattle Mariners calling the baseball game.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Like, he's like the coolest guy ever.
And he lives up in Seattle?
No. He lives here. He lives in L.A.
Are you going to try to put him in some sort of blood ritual and take over his life?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'll see how that works out.
If you could go back and take over someone's life, would it be like James L. Brooks or someone like that? Or would it be Kelsey Grammer?
Go back. No, I don't want to be on the camera. I'd rather be behind it. So, you know, Jim Brooks would work. Actually, Jim Burrows would be the one, I think.
Jim Burrows.
God, that guy. Still working. Constantly. Directs so much television. So much amazing television.
Maybe you'll be a television director.
It's always fun, too, to like watch when you watch a Frasier and you see his name pop up as the director of it. You're like, oh, Jim Burrows.
Can you feel, do they feel different?
You know what's interesting is he does do on Frasier, he does camera angles that nobody else does. Like you see parts of the kitchen at a weird angle or in the radio station on the other side of the booth. Like he does do some weird angles. It's a lot of fun.
Did they ever shoot from Eddie's point of view?
They have, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was just kidding. I'm glad that they did that. Chris Hardwick, sarcastic psychic. Oh, you're totally going to get in a bus accident. Oh, my gosh.
Jesus.
that wasn't you getting in a bus accident. That was you having to be on a bus.
That was totally
no!
an accident.
No.
Yeah.
This isn't my Uber.
This isn't my bus.
This is not my Uber bus.
So, can I ask you a question?
Mm.
So your brother-in-law is throwing you a bachelor party in the East Coast.
Yeah.
But
You've both been invited.
A lot of us can't.
Yeah, can't
I
make
know,
it.
But it's in Massachusetts.
At an Indian reservation, and I have reservations about that.
I wish I could, like, give him gold stars.
So you have reservations. That means that you have already called to reserve spots.
No, I have reservations about it.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
About it.
Yeah.
Not for it.
All right. Yeah.
All right, brah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to play some golf and do some gambling. Kind of like just my kind of weekend, you know?
But you. So I thought, well, we should do something for you here, but you didn't seem super psyched on that at first. Do you not want a bachelor thing? I mean, you know, if I throw you a bachelor thing, it's not going to be crazy. It's going to be super mellow.
Right.
Yeah, almost
right.
To the point of probably being boring.
No, wait, what?
Yeah. No, I'm just like, I'm helping
you
out.
Some reservations about. Sure.
Yeah, you made reservations for me?
Where? Yeah. I demand to see the manager. This was supposed to be ready by now.
I'll be right
my
back.
My wife and I called ahead.
I'll go grab them.
Why even take reservations if you're not going
to
see
people? Do you want me to get the manager? Do you?
Yes. I want to talk to him right now.
Okay, well, then I'll go and get him.
Go get him.
I will.
God, I'll stand here.
Sure, I'll
near
go
this
over here.
Door.
Fuck.
Why? Sure, tired of standing here. Where did he go?
Hey, I'm the manager.
Sir, I have a complaint.
Yeah?
Well, I had reservations for two for Jonah's comment.
What was the comment? Can you describe the comment?
I don't know. I can't pay attention to everything. My assistant made the reservations.
Okay. And you have reservations about this interaction?
Yes, I have strong reservations about the reservations that we made.
I understand, but you need reservations to eat here is the situation.
But I made those in the midst of my reservations about the bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not the manager. I'm a manager of someplace
Jesus
else.
Christ.
Yeah, I'm...
Go get the actual manager.
I represent the host you were talking to.
Go
he's a,
get
he's
the
a
manager.
Really, he's a really funny guy, and I think you'd really
fine.
Give him a shot if you could put him on your After Midnight program.
That's fine.
He'd be really funny.
I'm stand here next to this post office.
Okay, so but you don't want to talk to the host entertainment manager, you want to talk to the manager of the restaurant.
I want to talk to the manager of the entertainer's restaurant. I mean the song by Scott Joplin.
That's a real convoluted riff.
You're listening to Convoluted Reference Theater. You're listening to Bad Improv Class.
Never been a bigger fan of Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations.
Yeah. Could have swooped in with that one, Matt.
Where were you?
It's just
you could have saved the whole bit. You could have come in as Anthony Bourdain.
You could just say, it's like, you guys have no reservations.
I couldn't. I didn't know how to make an audible collar pull.
Oh, yeah.
I took a walk.
This podcast brought to you by Audible.
Audible.com.
Who's the sponsor today?
Probably not brought to you by Audible. No,
do you know who the sponsor is today?
You just said Audible, so we didn't know yet.
I prefer to.
Did you hear? I am starting a new podcast about cars called Audible. If you said it, you would have asked for a high five.
No, I wouldn't have asked for a high five.
You would have demanded it. You're right.
Should make it about Audis and Lamborghinis.
I think you should make it about Audis, but it's people whose navels are.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Lamborghini.
And we have a match.
Audis, Lamborghinis?
It's because the Lamborghini symbol is a bull. So, Audi bull.
I wanted to totally get. Have you guys been listening? Have you guys been listening to this? There's this podcast. It's all about Lamborghinis, but it's like two Italian guys, and they call it Lamborghinis.
It's okay, we're Italian. We can
As
say
half
that.
Italian American, I'm half offended by that.
Oh, go to Olive Garden, you fucking.
When you're there, you're family. I loved going to my great grandparents' Italian Sunday meals for their never ending pasta bowls and all their breadsticks. So it seemed as though. You weren't super keen on the idea of doing a bachelor thing here. Are you ashamed of us, Matt? Or do you not want to? Are you tired of doing
shame,
bachelor stuff?
Mostly
shame. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's fair.
No, I just didn't. The whole, like, I feel like I just, it's like a whole other part of my brain I don't feel like dealing with. Like, I'm making so many plans
it's
for the
It's just going
and
out
stuff.
To dinner.
It'd
really.
Just be a dinner.
I'm just, if someone wants to plan it and
We're
tell
going
me where
I'm
to
going
be,
to plan it.
Someone
when?
Literally offered to plan the whole
Go
thing.
Go to plan it. You
I know, but
it
feels like, it feels like.
Feels it like your buddies love you
like
and they
have
want to be
to
able
like,
to hang out with you during the celebrate
like
this.
It feels like I'd have to do something.
You'd have to show up. Okay. Yeah, you would literally just have to show up.
You know what? We'd still have a lot of fun even if you didn't. So you could even take that off your plate.
Jonah, now that it's started, now that it's
now featuring 100% less Matt Myra. Yeah. That'd be terrible.
We're doing it for Myra.
Yeah. Myra couldn't be here because you didn't want to. Yeah.
Bill Brasky.
Brasky was the son of a bitch.
I remember the first time I met Matt Myra.
It'll just seem like a fucking wake.
Yeah.
Oh my God, how did he die?
He's fine.
Yeah, he's getting married. That sounds like
that's
a funeral.
That's got
death
sentence in my
Once
room.
Once you start getting it stuff, that's when you fucking turn in your ball sack.
Yeah.
You can keep your balls. They're just not in a sack anymore. They're just out and shit.
You put them out. That's embarrassing. They're just there. They are on the coffee table.
That'd be terrible. Imagine that.
If you had
no ball sack and you had hanging testicles, could you imagine?
You'd have ood.
Like
dick.
if that's how humans were designed.
No, that's like the ood. It's like the ood. Yeah. Like they're holding their brain in their hand.
Yeah.
Which seems like a horribly vulnerable place to be. But you won't have to do anything other than show up. That's
Great.
It.
I'll see you there.
It's just a dinner.
I'll be there with bells on.
Great. Just when you get home tonight, just give us a list of about 20 places you would want to go.
And also, if you could call a bunch of your friends, and also if you could call the restaurant and tell them to order a special cake, and also if you could ask the restaurant.
Cake? What the fuck?
Stop arguing!
Oh, yeah. Or and pie, whatever you want. Really.
Or a pie cake.
Yeah.
Also, if you could have special seating there for all of us, because we want to make sure that if we have to mash a bunch
be
of
really
tables
good.
Together.
Yeah.
And also, I'm going to give you a list of friends that I have that they don't really know you, but I just want to hang out with them, so why not do that?
Yeah,
duty?
Sure. Seth Green can come.
And if you could drive us,
not a problem.
Yeah, because Chris is actually going to start drinking again.
Yeah,
for you,
for you.
It's my wedding present for you. I did this for you.
Also, we need your credit card number.
Sure.
And just a couple kilos of blow, and then I think we should be good.
I think we're good.
I think we're good at that point.
Couple kilos of blow.
You should just let us celebrate you, Matt, the way we want to celebrate
you.
celebrate.
Yeah.
And I think it can be super mellow and just a nice dinner somewhere.
Village Idiot. Something easy. They got that back room.
They got the back room at Village Idiot.
Oh, yeah. That's very close. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said.
You're included.
Am I?
Yes.
I haven't gotten an invite.
Oh. There's not any.
It hasn't been planned.
It seems like I should be there.
Why?
Because I'm really good acquaintances with Matt.
Yeah. He's laughing because he's not really that familiar with your work. Yeah. He doesn't really know you. Matt, I'm sorry. Do you know this man? Do you want him at your...
You know, I saw him at Death Ray once. He was pretty funny.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's always good to meet a fan.
I went back. We did a match game at UCB a couple of weeks ago.
Remember when you guys had to get told not to do that anymore?
It was Jimmy. It was Jimmy Pardo.
Jimmy got told. Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy Pardo. They told him.
So weird.
They told him not to do it anymore, and so he didn't do it for a while. But then he did it again, and it was really fun. But I felt like the UCB audience was a little hipstery, like a little
more so than it always was.
Yeah.
You know what? I did a show there on Saturday night. It was a throwback to classic era See You Next Tuesday.
Yes. Oh, which was fun. The original Tuesday night show that Matt Belknap set up.
Yeah.
Right.
Post-Death Ray.
Post-Death Ray.
Or Bang Bang or whatever. And so it was me, Pepitone, Matt Peters hosted.
Oh, wow.
Who else was Eric Charles Nielsen.
That's
Mike
great.
Furman.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a nice... Good classic, you know, night of the show. Jeselnik did it, and then, but like I got on stage, I was like, "Who used to come to the old See You Next
Tuesday?"
Not one
person.
Jazz and Melinda. Just the two. I was like, "Wow, what a nostalgic night for five of us."
It was like, "Why did you guys come out?"
Yeah, because it was just the lineup of a good stand-up show.
I mean, it's interesting too. Like I was thinking, like those, I was at all those match games. I would constantly go to those, and it was like so fun.
They were so much fun.
I remember I was a contestant, and April was a contestant.
Yeah,
because we just threw our names in the hat.
Oh,
you know,
wow,
and that's
fun.
How it would work.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you were contestants. You were contestants.
Not even on the panel because we were nobodies.
Oh my god!
I still am. But it was
not true.
It was like that. Seeing Jimmy Pardo do that, it's one of the great joys of my life.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best thing.
I love match games.
And so
much.
The crowd not as into it. A little,
yeah, they just
did
seemed...
they have reservations with the show?
Yeah, you just make them online.
Honestly, and the show was great, by the way. The panel was of course, Aukerman and Kumail and Andy Richter.
All right, well, there's the wild card. I don't know how Kumail would be at that. Ackerman's great.
Kumail's really good.
Classic panelist.
Kumail's really good. And Gillian Jacobs was there. And, of course, Paul F. Tompkins.
Paul F., great classic
You're
panelist.
You're the kind of Richard Dawson of yep. And me. And I sort of felt like...
You There's know, only like, you, Paul F., and Aukerman seem to be original panel members, though.
Andy did it before.
And Andy, too. Yeah.
Andy did it before. It was fun. I just felt like the crowd, it sort of seemed like they weren't familiar with some of it, so I just sort of felt, it was the same thing where I think I expected more of the nostalgia, and I think some people were...
Well, you know, like, the people that were going back in the day, they probably... They're adults now, and they got families.
Weren't children at the time.
But they were probably in their early 20s, mid-20s.
Yeah.
And now it's been almost 10 years since you guys were doing it regularly.
God, fuck
I was
you.
I was like
yeah, you're older now, Chris.
Fuck you.
But you look younger.
Fuck me.
But yeah, that's the thing. You know, they don't, like, comedy audiences, they don't stick around. They age out.
I would go to every part of show, Running Your Trap.
And do you anymore?
Match game. I didn't even know that he was doing it again. Because I'm not, for some reason, I just
not
don't.
In the loop.
Yeah.
I'm not in the loop of checking the UCB's website like I used to do constantly.
Exactly.
Guys, we got to fix this.
You used to go to lots of UCB shows.
I used to go all the time. I did this not long ago. I forget what we were. Dory was looking for something, and I had to find something in my email. The word might have been reservations.
And the secret word is reservation.
But I punched it in, and like for some reason my mailbox was loading from back to front, so it started in 2006, and I just saw all these UCB reservation confirmations.
Oh, wow.
Shit.
So I counted them, and in 2006 and 2007, I went to 63 UCB shows.
That's rad. That's like every weekend.
Yeah, I was going all the time.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. That's awesome. That was your fucking comedy college right there.
That was it.
So you still go to shows every week?
I go to shows. I'm on. End of story.
It's funny how at a certain point it just turns into like, I don't know.
Well, there's also like, I think you have the thing in your head too of like, when you're at a level where you're doing these shows, you don't want to just go hang out at the shows if you're not on it. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, yeah, I don't mind that. I like going to check out a show and seeing comics.
You're a showgoer though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also, it's especially because of the meltdown, you know, I still will see a comic I've never even heard of and go, fuck, you do great on the meltdown.
Yeah, Emily can get them on in 5 to 8 months.
Yeah, yeah. But it is also a weird feeling though to just like, I'm just a comic like you guys, but you got the meltdown, and so like there's like, you know, you'll see younger kids going like, oh, if I do good, then he'll see, and that kind of feels, that puts you in a weird spot.
I don't know if no one's doing that.
It's probably just projection. Because I know I was like that. If like, you know, when I was at an open mic, and it worked for me, I was at an open mic and Ackerman saw me perform and then asked me to come and do the M-Bar show.
Aww.
Like he's like, hey, we're starting a show next week at the M-Bar. Come and hang out. And if you like it, maybe like we'll get you on. Like, and that was, you know, the first M-Bar show.
Belknap put me on See You Next Tuesday like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Open mics,
good
man.
Old days. I miss those
M-Bar.
Days.
It's not even M-Bar anymore. It's called like,
yeah, I saw that. They changed the sign.
The number 9.
You know who books it is the guy that used to run the bar.
Oh yeah,
or Brandon McCullough.
Oh,
he's a great musician.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, but he's the booker of that place now.
Wow,
yeah.
That's awesome. I honestly just don't know enough L.A. comedy anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what happens there, but I just know he's.
I will say, I was on the plane last week, Wednesday night, and I watched Meltdown. It was so good.
Yeah, which one?
Such a Shear and Hannibal. Oh. Shear's Vine.
Bling Isle. Bling Ring of Exile.
What's crazy
is
like, they crammed so much stuff into that fucking show that when it was done, I honestly was like, wow, it was great of Comedy Central to give them an hour to put all that stuff in.
It feels like it. Yeah,
and then you look and it's a half hour. It's
yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's that's the thing. Everyone's like, this should be an hour long. And it's like, that's what you want to hear. You want to hear, you know, you want them, leave them, want them more. When this goes up Tuesday?
I don't know.
Oh, well, last night was our season finale.
Oh, I know.
Really well.
Highest rated show in the history of television.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to say that, put that out there now. But yeah, no, I'm really stoked on this season.
Yeah,
thank you for saying that. Really, nice. Really,
when will you hear if there's a season 3?
I don't know. And we didn't hear for a while after last season.
You just don't know. You hear when you hear.
Yeah, you hear when you hear. Like,
well,
you know, we heard about another show of our friends
give
that got picked up.
Your time slot to the Fat Jew, but.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Hey, yeah. You got that extra money allocated.
It's all yours.
That really blew up over the weekend.
Well, it's just because the announcement of CAA.
Right.
Everyone knows. I've been making fun of that dude.
Guys, I just signed Instagram's Fuck Jerry.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think what I was – I don't know the guy. In case anyone listening doesn't know, there's a dude. His Twitter handle is at Fat Jew.
He's more of an Instagram guy. That's
he's an
thing.
Instagram guy. And
he literally screen grabs other people's jokes and creations.
Yeah.
Zooms in a little bit on it.
So you
crop out whoever made it. And then he posts them again. And then on top of that, because he has so many people following him, because of these really funny things that he's aggregating,
yeah.
That companies give him thousands of dollars to promote on his Instagram.
Yeah,
feed.
He gets
yeah, so
plug.
People, you know, so a lot of so Patton was posting a bunch of stuff about it because Patton's a big crusader against joke thievery.
Yeah,
and God bless him for that. And or God bless him, Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. And so then people started bringing us into it and going, well, At Midnight just shows stuff, and it's like,
no, we always credit.
Like, so I think what people don't understand about what he's doing, because I think most people on the internet, and I will explain this as calmly as possible. I'm not trying to start fights with people mm-hmm. online. There's a difference between sharing and aggregating versus taking someone else's work, making it seem like it's your own, and then making money from that. Like yeah. we on At Midnight do our best to credit where stuff go. We found this on Always. This website. We found this from this person, or this person wrote this tweet. There's that. That's different.
And I
than,
will say this: even you were very particular about when we would put Reddit stuff on. Of if there was a joke or something like
credit
or whatever,
the user
always credit whoever the
credit
hell
the user,
user
yeah
was,
it's
yeah.
A, it's very it's important it's really important yeah. because yes. so what I tried to explain to a couple of people is because there's this idea on the internet it's like well it's the internet I mean everything's for everybody and it's yeah. like well there's a difference between sharing something like with your friends and going hey I found this funny thing Jonah that I think you would like versus I'm going to start making money from stuff that other people wrote. It's basically like using the entire world as your writing staff, but yeah. they don't know it.
Yeah.
And so I try to explain to someone like, hey, imagine if you painted something. And I think that's the other problem is people don't see comedy as the same that they view music or art, you know, like yeah. other forms of art.
No, because jokes are tossed around and
yeah,
given to
like,
people.
Well, who wrote every Knock Knock joke? Well, yeah. I don't know, but it's – but let's just say, for instance, that you painted something. Someone you know, took it from your house and sold it and made money from it and didn't even, and basically acted like they painted it.
Yeah.
You would be upset. And I think part of the crazy thing about it is that because he's a dude that's like, oh, look, I got this crazy top knot and I wear leather underwear on stage.
Yeah.
But he's a company. And if McDonald's did that, people would be fucking lighting McDonald's on fire.
Yeah.
So I think they just need to understand that the reason that comics are so particular and protective...
McDonald's won't burn. Those cheeseburgers are not going to burn.
I think why so many comics are so particular about it is because they've seen their friends who are struggling writers tweet something out or say something and have that guy in particular take it.
Yeah.
And not give them the credit. So it's like he's profiting from it and not crediting the people.
I hope they.
But he has in the last week. It's interesting. Someone,
he's
some lawyer must have said something
tagging.
To him because someone is. He started tagging like, oh, I got, you know, this via this person.
He just puts it in parentheses and it tags them. But I've looked at some of the things he's tagged and I've looked through their feeds and it didn't seem to correspond.
I just think, you know.
Meaning?
Like, I looked through those people's feeds. I didn't see what he posted. I saw that they reposted other people's shit, too. So it was
kind of... Yeah, because, aggregation sharing is the lifeblood of the internet.
Yeah.
As long as you're crediting, as long as you're doing the best that you can to credit the source. Because that's, you know, Nerdist started as an aggregation site. It was like, oh, I found this thing, but it was always via Boing Boing, or this came from Gizmodo. You might like this. It came from this. And... You know, when podcasters started out, hey, let's all have each other on our show so mm-hmm. we can share our audiences. But never would I think it's okay to intentionally like – and there's also a difference between putting up joke things as opposed to, you know, like on At Midnight, oh, we found this came
the
from
commentary
this.
Is
it's
the
commentary
joke
is the thing. It's sort of like
– not the thing. You're not saying there it is. On with the next
on
thing.
On with the next thing. Yeah. Yeah.
And we always would be careful too to like not put something on At Midnight that was funny for the sake of funny.
We wouldn't want to build comedy on top of comedy.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You're hoping that it's sort of unintentionally funny and then the comics will tag that out. I mean, it basically At Midnight works the same that The Daily Show did in the sense that, you know, John was finding political videos mm-hmm. and the political videos were the source material. And our source material are internet communities, but it's important philosophically, it's important that comedians on the show add tags to it. I mean, it works like a Reddit thread. Someone buzzes in and then you're crediting and then but not just showing something that someone else made and acting like, hey, isn't this funny?
You know, and years ago
I wrote this.
He got kicked off of Twitter because he found David Cross's number and posted it on Twitter. Said, hey, this is David Cross's number. And then he got kicked off Twitter because it's like illegal. And then he went on some entertainment show thing, and did a whole thing while he was sitting in a bubble bath saying other things about David Cross, like doubled down and saying like, yeah, I did give away your phone number. I also am going to tell people about how this and this and this and this and this and this. And
yeah, I mean, look.
It's just like he's just a piece of shit.
Well, look, mm-hmm. I don't know him.
I'm on board with Jonah.
I don't know if he's personally a piece of shit. I don't want to start a war with the guy. I'm just trying to explain to people –
why comedians are so upset, because I think a lot of people, you know, what's really interesting is that a lot of people that seem to be defending him, it's like, this really is a case of the little guy being taken advantage of, like yeah. the unknown writer having their work just pilfered and presented as someone else's. And I feel like a lot of people that are defending him are like, they're the little guy actually defending a guy who's really a company.
Who's defending it's like, him?
There's tons of people.
Really?
Yes, because it's sort of, I think people don't understand the main difference with attribution. And so I get why some people are confused. So they look at, you know, they look at Midnight, or they look at Reddit, or they look at the internet, and they go, well, everyone shares everything. What's the problem? And it's like, the problem is attribution. You have to do the best that you can. And admittedly, some things on the internet are difficult to trace back because they get passed around yeah. so much. But you should do the best that you can to attribute to the best of your knowledge who the originator was or where it came from. And don't just post stuff as your own if it's not – if you know that you didn't think of it. Now, you know, there is sort of a gray area because there are only so many ideas, and sometimes, you know, like if you post something – if there's something going on in the world and you post a joke and I post a joke and those jokes are similar, that doesn't automatically mean that one of us stole it from the other. It's like, yeah. oh, well, these are obvious things that – but I think if you look back at the feed and you know, and we know people whose jokes have been stolen, that there yeah. is a – you know, and it's the profiting from it that
he
I think is sort of.
He recycles his own jokes.
Yeah.
And tweaks the punchline a year later all the time.
Yeah. It's just that's what it is, though. It's like it's the money being made. It's the fact that he is getting deals off of other people's
stuff. Other people's work. I mean, yeah. it's not hard to seem funny if you just use the world to find the funniest stuff and go, yeah. look what I made.
I got off the subway in New York and I like a giant fucking Seamless ad with his stupid face on it. It was yeah. just there. I was like, oh my God.
And he'll be fine.
He's going to be fine.
Oh, he'll be great.
I honestly think people, like the majority of people, really don't care if stuff gets stolen, which is sort of a bummer.
No one's going to remember this next week.
Yeah. But it is important if you're a comedian and your job, like you make, you know, and you're trying to make money from your work. It is an art form.
What if the fat Jewish is Prodigal Sam with a beard and a high ponytail?
Oh, he was the yeah.
Prodigal Sam was the other guy. You don't remember Prodigal Sam?
I don't think so.
Prodigal Sam was the guy that
he was the other person Patton called out on Twitter for stealing. Basically, just someone
he would
tweet
just
something
take jokes.
And then he would just take it and put it on his own feed. Like he wrote
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, I remember yeah, now. Yeah,
yeah, and I know most people probably don't understand why it sucks to do that because they just think, oh, it's public, but it's not really public domain. And if you didn't think of it, and at least. If you're going to use someone else's joke, either pay them for it or credit them.
Yeah, credit them.
But just don't – like there should be some form of payment made. Some form of payment.
Just retweet it in the form of attribution or in the form of money.
It should be – you know, that's the long and short of it, and that's why so many comics are bummed. And I think if in any other industry, just whatever your job is, just imagine that when you're doing it, someone would come in – take all the money and credit for the thing that you did, and then
they would look like that too. That's actually the salt in the wound. Is that he looks like a complete idiot.
What you mean?
Just the way he looks is just so stupid.
Yeah,
Jonah, I support you.
You know what? If people are gonna be like, "Oh, hipster making fun of someone's fashion." Yeah, yeah, that guy looks like an idiot, and he dresses like a guy starved for attention. It's the idea of just he has that vibe. That are you looking at the time code just to?
No, I can't. Okay. I can't see the time.
It looks like a kid that looks like the extreme end
of the kids who wait in the undefeated lines.
It's the whole thing, like crazy, wacky, cool. It's like, look at me. Can you believe how crazy this is?
Yeah. Right.
I just want people to understand
why it's a bummer.
Well, you know, not everybody can understand everything all the time. That's where I'm at in my life, you know? Just sort of like, yeah.
Oh, that's so accepting, Matt. What's up with that?
You know, I turned a corner a couple of weeks ago where I just was like, I'm not going to engage anybody on anything that could possibly lead to anything argument-wise.
Is that why you didn't want to have a
bachelor
West Coast bachelor party?
I've really thought, no. I was like, no, the bachelor party sounds great if I don't have to do anything. I'm way on board, but yeah. It's just like...
It's kind of funny. In any other form, because I feel like the world is such a place where people want justice that if it were plagiarism in any other form of media, people would be. There's so many things about it that if it were
like Jonah Lehrer,
if it right that it would that if it were in other, some other form of media, people would be like, "Oh, fire him forever!" Like yeah. people would be there would be pitchforks and torches.
Yeah.
And for some reason, this is like, "Oh, he's just a come on, it's funny. Why you gotta ruin the guy's success?" And it's like, well, technically, it's not really his success.
Yeah.
It's the success of other people who wrote those things.
Yeah,
yeah, but he was smart enough to market it.
Yeah, but there is that weird thing that if you screen cap something or you take a picture of someone else's thing, then you technically own it.
Yeah.
Which is sort of a fucked up.
Thank God.
It's like the guy who sold those Instagram pictures.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that art installation.
Oh, yeah.
For, you know, like tens of thousands of dollars,
right.
Just taking pictures of other people's Instagrams and selling them as art. And it's like, and those people that actually put up didn't.
Yeah.
Didn't get anything?
I forgot about that.
It's such a bummer.
I know. It's such a bummer.
Such a bummer.
Ew.
Just write your own stuff. And if you can't write your own stuff, that's fine. But at least pay someone or at least credit them or at least you know, like hire writers. Like people write stuff all the time. People have writers to write stuff. Just pay someone. Pay someone to come up with it. If you're not creative enough to write your own thing, just pay someone or credit someone.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's good.
I think that was great.
I think everyone's going to be tuning in to hear our fresh hot take on the Fat Jew.
Take on everything.
You know, the hardest part about the whole I was enjoying all of everyone's tweets making fun of him, but it did get a little weird after a while when you're just like, I just keep on seeing people be really mean to the Fat Jew, and it starts to feel really weird.
It feels weird
because you're like, I really wish he had a different name because this is feeling odd.
And when you're explaining to people who don't know, you're like, so there's this guy, Fat Jew. That's his name.
Yeah, yeah.
He calls himself that. It's I didn't, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know.
I'm not, you know, one of them.
Well, he's kind of a portly Jewish man. Yes.
Yes.
But
yes.
That's his. I'm not. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
He did it.
He did it.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy.
Yeah, I know. But, you know.
Guys, we'll get through it.
Are we going to be okay?
I think we're going to be fine.
Are you going to be okay?
I'm going to be fine.
Jonah, are you going to be okay? Great, yeah.
Are you doing good?
I'm doing great.
Do you have any reservations about that? Can you come in those reservations?
I'm going to go on more early.
I'm coming all over those reservations.
Go on. Yes, hello.
I was just telling someone the other day about how, because I know Matt's very busy, and I was saying, you know, Jonah used to avoid work, and now he's almost kind of a workaholic. Like that, you.
I don't know if I ever avoided work.
Freeloader's Guide?
That was a lot of work.
He had to put work into that.
Yeah, that was a lot of work putting those together.
But I feel like there was the soul of something.
Yeah, it was based off of a time when I was 20 years old.
Yeah. I knew you then.
I know.
Chris, let me just say for the record, when the rest of us were 20, we weren't on MTV.
I wasn't either.
Where were you? How old were you when you started working over
22,
there?
22, motherfucker.
No, I mean... Like all that stuff, like the Freeloader's Guide stuff, just getting free stuff. I mean, I was working at the Arclight and I was doing comedy and I was like writing with friends and doing sketch stuff during the day. But
yeah,
it was
so
like,
you weren't really doing anything.
Yeah. But, you know, all the Freeloader's Guide stuff was just based off of like, you know, that need to like find a way to get free or cheap
stuff.
Whatever
happened to those?
They're up there. They're online. I think Peter Tencio has them on his Vimeo, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we own them. I guess we own them. I'm
yeah, you
sure.
do by now, right?
Probably, yeah. I'd imagine so. Yeah.
Those are made for Super Deluxe, which was TBS's big website.
Yeah, I made those, and I made the Master of the Internet, which is probably the most successful thing I ever made that was turned into a GIF.
Dale Kucinich Jr.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's like, it's funny, because every once in a while, I'll just be on Tumblr or some of that, and I'll just see me.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, it's still being sent around. And people think it's so far removed from the video itself that people think it's from an actual old VHS thing about the internet, which is kind of neat. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It looked really good. That was another Ray Tencio joint.
Ray Tencio joint, yeah.
But yeah, to answer your question, Chris, Jonah's very busy.
Yeah, I know he is.
Yeah, I just, you know me. I just don't like talking a lot about what I'm working on. I just rather...
So what are you working on? Come on.
I'm more,
that was the most
really
organically
laugh.
Uncomfortable laugh. Tell us everything in detail.
No, I don't know. I don't know. It's I kind of like the idea of just putting stuff out.
Yeah. So what are you putting out?
I mean, I guess the stuff is going to get made, but you know, I am the pilot I made for True TV, which we didn't want to do with them mutually. It's the fake travel show.
Yeah,
we're going to be making that for this other platform. I asked if, because I think they're announcing it soon. I asked them if I was able to, you know, announce it, but I don't know if I am. But it's I'll be making there'll be 10 episodes of my fake travel show.
Yay!
Soon. Yeah,
what's it called?
It's called Hidden America with Jonah Ray.
Nice.
And it's a travel show that's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So you're not actually traveling?
We are traveling.
Well, then it's a real travel show.
That's true. But the contents within, once we get there, very fake.
But you're in real
locations
places?
Locations are real. Yes.
The locations are real. Not. The events are not.
Well, but they are real because you're doing them.
Sure, but they're pre-written.
Hmm. I don't know. I feel like a lot of travel shows are probably pre-written.
You're not going to break this case, Hardwick.
I've been working on this case for 20 years. Don't you tell me.
Just wait for one slip up.
One slip up. I got my eye on you.
Yeah. Doing that. Writing an adaptation of a comic
adaptation.
Book. Yeah. Writing an adaptation of adaptation. I'm writing an adaptation of a comic book called Little Depressed Boy with Susan Burke.
She's rad and funny.
She's very rad and funny. We got a pretty good, heartfelt, funny script that we're just punching up right now and
sweet.
Rewriting. And then, doing some stuff with Joel Hodgson as well.
Those
that's me. That's what I'm doing.
Look at how great you look at me in the eye. Uh-huh. Look at your eyes dart away.
You know, there was a lot of times that you've known me where I've wanted to work more. I just, no one was letting me.
I remember what that feels like.
I was going around trying to see. It's like, please let me do more than I'm doing now. They're like, not yet.
Not yet. You still haven't learned the most valuable lesson.
Yeah.
That life is precious.
Yeah.
And here's a travel
but
show.
But more importantly, building a little slatted fence thing in my house. And
where's it going?
You know where the deck is, where the neighbors...
No, he means what network's it going to.
Oh, yeah. No, this is actually just like real life stuff.
Right. So just Periscope then?
Home and Garden.
Snapchat?
Yeah. Yeah, like we're the neighbor side, so we're gonna get that. And we went and bought some trees that we're gonna be planting.
Oh, nice.
For the home garden for HGTV?
Yes. We bought some just to thank them for their services rendered.
You're making your house a home.
Yeah, no, that's the fun part. That's really great. And this weekend I'll be in Denver for the High Plains Comedy Festival, along with the likes of Adam Caton Holland, Anthony Jeselnik, Ben Roy, and many more. Matt Bronger, it's gonna be fun.
Good. Was Matt just it, or were there more people?
There's a ton. I said like five names.
No, you said like three names.
Oh, and then said more, and then
you said
Matt Bronger.
And then you said Matt Bronger.
I can look it up if you want me to.
It just said, it almost sounded like you did an and the rest.
And the rest. And that should be a fun festival.
That'll be great.
Fun festival.
What are you doing this weekend, Matt Meyer?
I don't know. I haven't looked that far ahead. I got a lot of shit to do this week that's more in my head than what's happening this weekend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then be a bummer shoot.
It sounded like you said bummer shoot.
Hey, for Matt, it is.
Bummer shoot, yeah. Is it B? Is it, you're supposed to pronounce
bumber
it?
Bumber shoot. You performing?
Yeah, I'll be there doing talk salad and scrambled eggs. We're going to Seattle.
In Seattle!
Because that's where Frasier's from.
Yeah, I know.
And they want me to do some other show, some nerd comedy show that I find insulting, but I will probably do it.
Why is it insulting?
Just like, I don't like the branding of nerd comedy.
Oh.
Mike Lawrence, that's fine for.
You know you're on the Nerdist podcast, right?
What? Oh, my God.
Name one funny thing we've done. Wait, I got this one.
We added Kyle to a lot of these.
Where has Kyle been?
Where is Kyle?
It's Monday night. He's doing the open mic that I started / left.
Matt Myra's day off. It's such a bummer that they didn't keep that name.
It would have been amazing.
Because it makes more sense.
It would have been my day off. Yeah.
It makes more sense that you're not there if it's called Matt Myra's day off.
God damn it. It really was.
Yeah.
Matt Myra's day off. Spiritually, it will always be.
It was great.
Matt Myra's day off.
It was a lot of fun for a lot of people. But it used to be on Sunday nights.
Harmontown.
Moved to Monday. Harmon.
We're doing a Talking Dead special this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Leading
next weekend.
It is this Sunday, leading into the premiere of Fear the Walking Dead. Which
Wait, when does that start?
Sunday.
22nd.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any trailers, but that billboard of the basketball player.
Yeah.
within the background. That's a great fucking shot.
It's a the show is really good. It's so tonally different than Walking Dead.
It's like, is that going to be like a procedural kind of thing or like a outbreak?
It's basically, you know, because
right?
You basically had Rick's point of view in Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So after he gets shot and then he wakes up in the hospital, you're just in it.
Yeah.
And so this is really, this is the beginning stages of, like, life is still very normal. And then all of a sudden it's just like, oh, there's a weird dude over there. And what's he on, bath salts? Or, like, it,
yeah.
But the way that it's shot, and it's fucking really, it's really great. And so we, that runs for 6 weeks. And then we're going to do a post show for the season finale of that on October 4th. And then I guess if people.
How long is Grimey in the coma for?
You mean the character of
Frank Grimes
from The Simpsons?
Yeah.
He's in the coma for, I think it's about a month.
Oh, that's not fun then. Wish it was longer.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll talk to Robert Kirkman.
Thank you.
I'm sure we can retcon that in some way. Yeah, so we'll be doing that this weekend, and then maybe not. And then maybe I won't do anything.
Don't do anything.
Like, well, I won't do anything for a couple of years. Why are you talking about this in your mouth?
Oh,
you're not even saying
you
words.
You started doing that.
Right, no, you started it. I was just copying you. Oh, well, you're still doing it, and I'm talking out of the front of my mouth. Now you've turned your head. What? Yeah, now you're just... Well, I'm glad that we got to do this.
Katie's not here, so we should probably just keep going until she gets back.
Katie! Why you wanna leave us alone? You leave your dog.
Let's hide the dog. But then not say anything.
Put it in my mouth.
Just come back and you have some of the tail sticking out of your mouth.
Just the tail of a 40-pound dog. Yeah. Oh, here she comes. So, dicks.
Chris, that was the best save I had ever witnessed.
Thanks, man. But don't say it's a save. She's going to know. Katie, edit the part out so you won't remember it.
Dicks. I thought I'd just try with the best.
Edit part out of your brain.
Yeah.
Edit that part out of your brain. What are you doing this weekend, Katie?
It's a really good question. I don't know.
This Katie Levine knows that.
Oh. I know. I'm trying to go see Taylor Swift, and the tickets are too expensive.
How
so
much are they?
They're like $200.
Chris will get you.
I don't. They're the base
got,
tickets are
you got it.
She sold out the Staples Center 5 times.
Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah. That Story's album going. Is great.
That's what people Story's say.
Going in
the, yeah, Chris has got you. Don't worry about it.
What do you mean I got you?
Yeah. Floor.
I can't get those connections.
Floor.
I don't. You could probably wrangle it. Just call somebody.
Who would I call?
Debbie.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Do you?
You should call Debbie. You should email Debbie.
I did.
Yeah, they're fucking hard to get.
Hard to go to StubHub. It's just about the money. That's she doesn't it. Have the money, the but money. I think I know someone who's got the money, Jonah.
Yeah, Jonah. the state! Avenue A.
They have zany adventures in their own way.
The Jew! I'm sorry. Let me do it one more time. The Jew!
The Italian.
Oh, sorry. I don't know that sketch.
And the red
head
gay.
You know that sketch.
I know.
What a fucking dick. Have fun. Try to have fun.
I have the best video of us flying up to Seattle to do this podcast, and we're all singing a song. There's a song playing.
Sweet Home Alabama?
It's not Sweet Home Alabama. And we're all singing it, and I turn the camera around to Matt, who just looks up, and he's like, what? Like, doesn't even...
Yeah. Well, Matt on that trip, on that jet, was in a perpetual state of, I could get used to this.
Oh, I was just thinking of ways and the costs of a private jet and maintain it. $400,000 a year is pretty much the base what you can get away with.
Oh, my God.
That's how much it costs to have a private jet.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So...
Yeah, it was the one time we got to use the legendary corporate jet because it was the only way that we could podcast.
It's not the legendary corporate jet. It's Thomas Tull's personal jet.
Oh, it was his personal jet. Yeah, and he was very kind enough to let us use it to get up to do the podcast with Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Just trying to – I think maybe I should just keep texting like, oh, Bill Gates really wants me to
yeah.
go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
So can I borrow the jet?
Doesn't Hearst have a couple lying around?
I'm just lying around.
Scramble the Jets.
I don't know, man. It's pretty relatable, though.
Should we end the podcast?
Yeah.
You okay with that? Have we done enough time?
You are contracted to do 1 minute and 10 seconds longer.
Really? Are we at 59?
We're at 58. Ish.
Well, let's end the podcast. Guys, it's been wonderful doing the Nerdist podcast with all of you.
What, that's it?
Yeah, we're ending the podcast, right?
That's what we're... series finale?
Should I turn on... What kind of song would I put on? I wish we had like an overture version of Jetpack Blues.
If it was Attack of the Show, we'd play Never Got the Chance.
They still use that noise.
I still love it. That's my fave.
You listen to KUSC.
You're listening to KUSC Radio. That was Mozart. Singing.
Oh, shit, Chris. Spotify just charged your account without even asking you.
It's okay, Matt. I told them they could.
What, are you sure?
Yeah, I've authorized this transaction.
But it happened without you doing nothing.
Yeah, man. That's how the internet works now.
Switch to Apple Music, bro.
I have both.
What? And you can't get her a ticket to Taylor Swift?
Because I'm spending all my money on streaming music services.
But if
you guys write some stuff, I could put it online and say I wrote it and get all the money for it. Then I could take care
of it. You skinny Christian.
I'm not Christian.
Catholic. I forgot Italian.
I'm not even really Catholic anymore.
Oh, is your mom's vagina Catholic?
Yeah, then you Catholic!
Shit!
That's how it works.
Oh, look at all that guilt settling in.
Yeah,
look at all that guilt just fucking seeping
so bad
in
now. Oh, man. Oh,
that's
man.
The rule. The vagina dictates what the kid is.
Oh.
I'm going to have, unfortunately, probably a couple of fat Jews of my own.
Mom's vagina.
It's the new Enjoy Your Burrito.
On my sweater already. Mom's vagina.
When you're here, your family.
Mom's vagina.
Oh, man.
Enjoy your mom's vagina.
Ooh. Did we do it?
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Every year, 50 teenage girls, one from every state, show up in Mobile, Alabama to compete in the largest cash scholarship competition exclusively for high school girls. They spend months training to win the big prize. But what happens when a Supreme Court decision leaves many of them feeling unprepared for the real world?
A lot of the girls were crying, and I never seen any of them cry before.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. I'm your host, Shima Oliai. Follow me behind the scenes as all 50 girls are catapulted into the center of a nationwide debate about their rights. What do they think of their changing country? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.